All right, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you together for prayers answered that we know of and prayers answered that we do not know. Thank you for everyone here. And Lord, thank you that our needs are met supernaturally, even as we seek your need and as we seek your will in the earth today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that all that we ask, we receive, and even more, far exceeding that our minds will comprehend. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. All right, so it's another wonderful evening, pretty short, I should believe, and hoping we're all doing very well. And I'm bringing to close the teachings we've been having quite recently on how to receive, you know, words from our pastor. Amen. It's how to receive God's word, how to receive words from him. Tonight is going to be like what I call that. A solemn appeal. We'll see how the Spirit of God leads me into how we are going to do this. And we are definitely going to arrive at that point. I should believe. But if it turns out that I don't get to that point, we'll still have a nice time. Now, have you realized that, just think about this, you were praying for example, the prayer sessions we've been having, you were praying for boldness, you know, for your pastor. Have you realized that that boldness is with respect to speaking God's word, to lead you into God's plan? Have you realized that? Maybe you haven't realized that. Now, when you pray concerning utterance, do you not know that there are supernatural utterances that are supposed to be spoken right from the point of a pastor speaking to, you know, a congregation, right? Have you realized that that utterance is for you? It's so that your pastor will be able to speak the way he ought to, so that you will be able to receive what is being spoken. Now, have you also realized that utterance on individual basis, for instance, some of you get to a point in time of your life where it feels like, I'm really stuck here. I need some counsel. I need help. I need, you know, someone to talk to. I need someone to pray with me. I need somebody to counsel me. Okay, there are good decisions ahead of me. Which of them do I really go in for? Where do you think utterance is going to come from? Yes, utterance is primarily the word of God, but utterance is also how he ought to speak, the things that he ought to speak to you. When you pray that he always has the right things to say, it actually comes back to you. When you pray for the conscience of your pastor, means his mind is sane, he does not get into strife, does not get into competition, he does not get it all twisted in his mind. He does not get into unhealthy relationships that eventually hurts the flock. He sticks to his pursuits. You know, he does not do the things that he is supposed to do because of money, because of influence. because of a name, because of fame, it still boils back to you. It's so that you are not used as scapegoats, right? For another man's, what do you call it? Selfishness. So when you pray for the conscience of your pastor, again, you're praying for yourself. When you pray that your pastor is delivered from wicked, evil, and unreasonable men, that's preserving the gift God has given to you. I'm going to show you that in Ephesians 4 verse 8. When he ascended up, he gave gifts unto men. So, that's you saying, Lord, the gift you have given to me, that gift has to stay protected at all costs. Are you thinking the devil is happy with me? Somebody's got to be crazy. Eh? Somebody's got to be crazy to think the devil is very happy. Yeah. When I sleep one night, you should be amazed of some of the things I get to see. Just continuous two nights, not praying, just two nights. You see something. Yeah. Yes, obviously, the grace of God is very strong. I believe that strongly. Hmm? So, when you pray for your pastor, that's you telling God, please preserve this gift for me. Not even because of himself, because a pastor doesn't pastor himself and he does not benefit from pastoring others. He does that because of Jesus, because Jesus asks him to take care of the flock that he's left behind. So all that your pastor is going to be doing is actually going to be for you. If your pastor is going to be anointed in the gifts of the Spirit, he's going to be anointed in the grace of God. You don't know what that means to you. It means you are going to be receiving of that. And much more, you also have, you know, you have a template. You have somebody you can look up to and say, wow, that's an anointed pastor. I'm going to be an anointed pastor one day. So you draw a template for yourself. For yourself. Not for anyone. For yourself. So, it looks to me like this, which is actually true. Everything that you pray for in your pastor, you literally pray for in yourself. That's God's gift to you. If he gets it, it's easier for you to get it. If he walks in it, it's easier for you to walk in it. If he loves God well, that's easy for you to love God too. If he does the ministry well, it's easy for you to do the ministry well too. And that's just how it works. That's why he's God's gift to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Those are just gifts. Those are gifts. Doma, a present, signed, sealed, delivered for you. Right? Signed, sealed, packaged, delivered to you and for you. And what a pleasant gift it is to be able to see God in that. You don't see the man. You see God in that. That's how to see clearly. You see God in that. God is in that. God is in that. God is in that. So everything that we do, everything that, you know, we pray for, everything that we hope for, everything that we anticipate in the gift God has given to us translates back into our lives. Now, you believe it or not, if I never had any pursuits for ministry and I didn't want to have anything to do with ministry, you might not be here. You might not be here. I'm not saying you will not be here. I'm saying you might not be here. You wouldn't know what you know. Your heart wouldn't burn for what it burns for right now. That's God's gift to you. So, you are going to see that as God's gift to you. And that is why you will understand that I'm pastored by words. And those words are sacred to me. And I will not frustrate the grace of God in that vessel that communicates his words to me. I will receive instructions, receive rebukes, receive corrections, because that's God's gift to me. So, he gave gifts unto men. That's what he did. You can fight it. You can argue against it. You can talk against it. You can refuse it. That's God. All he gave us were men as gifts. And he gives you the gift of a prophet as a pastor. That's what he's done. So when the gift is there, you kick the gift. Hey, come on, get away, foolish gift. Oh, don't forget. That's your gift. You are hitting away. There's a foolish boy. That's your gift. Your gift. That's what you do. Every day, this day, you should pray. Your gift is what you are doing. Your gift. Your gift. That's what you are doing. The gift God gave you is what you are kicking and, you know, just insulting and, you know, treating badly. Your gift. So don't join people to destroy, to kick, to talk against, to chastise, insult the very things that were given to them, to bless them, to serve them, to serve them. Oh. To serve them. If I ever pray that God should anoint me, it's so that I'll be able to serve the people that I'm serving. That's the reason for it. Not name. I can tell you, not name. Not name. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. It's something that God has helped me with. Yes, not name. Honestly. I started being exposed at a very young age. I'm telling you. Yes, I'm telling you, I started being very young. Yes, I got to be exposed at a very young age. I got to start being treated like very highly at a very young age. Oh yes. I'm not lying to you. So it shouldn't be about the name. It shouldn't be about the name. It shouldn't be. If there's anything I've done in ministry, I've always tried so hard to avoid the limelight. Always. From the beginning of my ministry, I've always tried so hard to avoid limelight. Be on the center of it. Be on the louder side of it. Be on the... I've always avoided that very strongly, intentionally. Oh, yes. Yes. If I had my way, I was asking God, is there a way I can do this ministry without me being known? I asked God before. And he had to say, and I felt like he was smiling at me. And he said, this is the easy way out. Represent me well, so that when the people see you, they'll see me. That's how to do it. But you are the ministry. Yes, you are the ministry. It's true. The man is the ministry. You take away the man, you take away the message, there's no ministry. There's no ministry. So he just said, you know what? You can't hide. A time will come, you can't hide. You've been trying to hide, but a time will come, you will not be able to hide. So just represent me well and be loud about me. And just do it. Because you have to stand there. Spirits cannot preach to people. Spirits cannot heal the sick. Spirits cannot prophesy. Spirits cannot set people free. It's men that set people free as the Lord uses them. Yes. So, it is a very key thing for you to identify all of these things. Anytime you say, you know, we're praying for pastor, that's you preserving your gifts. Yeah, you preserving your gifts. And the truth of the matter is this. Nobody pastors you better than God's pastor sent to you. There's something like that. Yes, there's something like that. Nobody pastors you better than the pastor God sends to you. Because there are pastors that God sends to you. Nobody pastors you better. You try it and see. Maybe the person is not sent to pastor you, but you just say, no, you see that it does not really work. Yeah. There are men sent to you, and you have to learn to receive them. It's true. It's true. So you're going to recognize God's gift to you. Are you listening? Recognize it. And that's why you will cherish the words. You will understand pastoring is in words. Right? What do you call it? And these words are supposed to be seen as sacred and not rebelled against and not talked against. And then finally, you see them as gifts to you. Special gifts to you. You know, I've had to go to God a couple of times. And I said, Lord, I really don't want to have this person around. But it's clear that if they're not around, they might not fulfill the ministry. See, just see how you can get them. Save them. Lord, how about I just, you know, say no. Just see how you can do it. You know, not many people understand the essence of losing ministry. Yes, not many people do. Not many people do. But I do. I do. I do very much by the grace of God. I have that understanding of what it means for a man not to be in the ministry, like he's not. I do. Yeah. I do. So, we're going to see that as God's gift. Right? The words, God's gift. And I want to assure all of you, listen to me. Everybody listening to me currently, I want to assure you this. I'm not in for using you, any of you, as experiments or as scapegoats or as people that I want to ride over to make name and to have and to build an empire. There is nothing like that. In fact, if I'll be honest with you, I've always desired to disappear. If I should be honest with you. Yes. Because it's, when you look at the job load, it's not a joke. Yes. 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 So, it is not my desire on any day, I'm telling you, on any day, to have any one of you. And that's why I don't mind losing anybody who says they are going. Because already I'm trying to make you know that what I'm doing for you is a sacrifice for you. Yeah. It's a sacrifice for you. It's a very huge sacrifice for you. So I want you to know, and I want you to believe this. If there's anything I've ever wanted for you, is that I've not wanted your life to be meaningless. And I always look at it very humbly and seeing how that feeble life can serve God and can live for God. And you can have, you see, all what I'm trying to do by the grace of God is to create so much an avenue that everybody can serve God. That's what we are all fighting to do. And that's what I'm fighting for. That's what I'm fighting for. So that gift of yours, it will not become something that you say, oh, me too, I could do something. That's all I'm fighting for. That's all I'm fighting for. So that ability of yours in the ministry, it doesn't end up with masters and you going to do a master's program. Eh? And you think that's all to life. We have finished masters here. We're going to do a PhD. How about that call? Eh? How about that call of God on your life? That's all. This is me being honest with you. That's all I've been trying to do all these years, is to make sure that I make sure that people stay in the ministry no matter what happens. Yes. Yes. And that's what I've been trying to do all these years. Maybe that's what I've lived my life for up to this time. Yeah. Consciously, like a snake, seeing how I can save people. And because I know what it means. I know what it means. I know what it means to be out of the ministry and the regrets that come with it. Yes, I understand that very well. So all my life, I am doing this is to make sure that people stay and people serve the Lord and people flourish in anything they do while joyfully serving the Lord. That's all I've been trying to do all this while. That's all. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's no ulterior motive to get anybody to lord over anybody, to ride over. There's no ulterior motive. There's not a motive like that. Not one single motive is there like that. There's not one ulterior motive. There's no motive like that. It's to build something and to, I don't even have anything to build. What am I building? What am I building? The way I understand life is, I don't think there's anything. I so much have understanding. There's nothing natural to build. Yeah. So all that I've been trying to do all this while, if you don't know, I'm telling you today, that's all I've been trying to do my whole life ever since I said, this person will lose their ministry. Let me save them. This person is out. Let me do that. This person will not be there. Let me follow up. This person will become very restless and useless without God if they don't serve the ministry. Let me help them. That's all I've been trying to do. That's all I've been trying to do all these years and all this time. That's all I've been trying to do. Maybe that's my calling too. The prophetic and then the healing. Those ones are side attractions to get you actually to listen to what I'm telling you so you can do it. This is also, that's all the things. When I mention a name and I call them, it's true. They're not anything to me. Yeah. In fact, those things are supposed to be tangible enough to make you understand that that is what God has called you to do. So I want you to know, and I want you to be sure. Yes, I'm telling you as your pastor, my motives for you are very clear. Yes. Yes. And some of the meetings we have are big enough to be coveraged. Enough to be shown all over social media. But you don't find any of these things outside. You don't find any of these things outside. You don't even get to hear any of these things outside. We are just there, serving God. I'm just there loving God and serving God. If I wanted to make a name for myself and I wanted to know other men of God, I wanted other men to know, I have bigger meetings that many people I know of that are very popularly known. Oh, if I put my face on a flyer, you'll be shocked the number of people who come. I'm not lying to you. I'm not lying to you. Yes. But I'm choosing to stay with you, choosing to teach you every night, two times a day. If it was about money, do you think I'll be teaching you two times in a day? I'll be teaching you two times, different sermons every day for close to 1 year, 5 months now. 1 year, 5 months, consistently. What are you talking about? If it was about your money. You think I'll be teaching you? I'll sit down, teach you, have time to call you. I can be on call several hours throughout the day. I'm not lying to you. Today I started receiving calls around 3:30 in the afternoon. I finished when I was coming. I finished speaking to different, almost 10 p.m. Yes, and it was call after call after call after call. I'm not lying to you. At a point, I had to put my phone on airplane mode. And I had to go and do a few things, come back, remove from airplane mode, continue. If it was about money, if it was about it, I could have used that time to do something else. But you are more important to God. And the ministry is more important to me. And your life is more important to me. And the direction it goes is more important to me. I was listening to someone, the person said, oh, I thought pastor only was close to some of us only. The person was telling me that.
I was actually shocked that he gets to everybody. Yes, if I've not gotten to you yet, it means I've not gotten to you yet, but I get to everybody. Yes. Yes. So I want to assure you, you can bank your life and you can bank your time on this. We want to serve Jesus in this place. Shouldn't be about anyone. It's just that we want to serve Jesus. But you see, in the service of Jesus, there's a way Jesus is served and there's a way he wants us served. And if you don't put all those structures in place, you might have the work destroyed by some other people who do not have the interest of Jesus at heart. Yes. When you see me teaching on loyalty and all, it's not because of self-gain. It's because what we are trying to build, another man is trying to destroy. Yeah. Another man is trying to destroy. What we are tirelessly building, another person is sitting there and wants to destroy it. And for that one, we don't sit down and watch them destroy. Yes. We fight back and we remove and we separate. Because this is what we are building. This is what Jesus says we should build. So, this is me saying it to you, right? And I pray strongly that the Lord keeps my heart very sane the way it is. That there should be no competition. There should be no ulterior motives. There should be nothing like that. It's just in your lives, Jesus exalted and you fulfilling the ministry how he wants you to fulfill it, right? So I want to assure you, do not be afraid, right? To give your hearts to Jesus in the cause he has given to us. Don't be afraid. Eh? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to love God in what he has given to us. Don't be afraid. It's a safe haven where you can serve God and you can serve him well. Are you listening? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yes. Your monies and the things that you give, they do not enrich anybody. Eh? They do not enrich anybody. They don't make anybody extra rich. Huh? Yes. If you even know the way I live, you will not even believe it. I live very conscious of the fact that these are blessings of people. I don't just spend money. Huh? I don't just spend money. You can ask those who live with me whether I just spend money. They are there. Just a few days, weeks they've been with me. Whether I just spend money. You can ask. You can ask. Well, he's just a spendthrift. Just spends, throws money here and there. Oh, no. Yes. So, we're going to serve God. And we're going to love him truly. Are you listening? And why am I telling you this? Is so you can trust your leader. Are you listening? So you can trust your leader. Eh? So you can trust your leader. Somebody came to see me when the person came from outside the country. And the person was me. I'm even the person's, what do you call it? Pastor. And the person goes somewhere and they're saying that, give 10,000 CDs. I said, my God, you don't even fear God. Eh? Even me, who is the person's pastor, I've not even asked for the person for a penny. One CD I've not asked for from the person. And then you now say that, oh, don't be wicked. Yes. So I want you to know, why am I saying this? It's so that you can have trust. You can have trust in your leader. 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 And so you can serve God very safely under your leader. So you can serve God safely under your leader. So that trust is needed. That's why I say this. Right? So I'm appealing to you. Have great trust in the one God has given to you. Yes. Have great trust. And then you follow wholeheartedly. And no ulterior. When you see me trying to protect you in a certain way, it's not because I have... You are not that important. I looked at someone and I told the person that, you know, you are not that important, you know. Yes. I said, you know, you are not that important. So let's just humble ourselves and serve God. Let's just humbly. Nobody wants you for anything. We only want you well. Right? So we're going to trust God's gift to us. You can't follow a man you don't trust. Yes, you can't follow a man you don't trust. So I want you, after this series of teaching you about pastor and all of these things, I can't, there are some things I can't tell you. Oh yes, it's between just God and myself. Yes. But even me, I'm not lying to you. If I had a pastor like myself, I am happy. Yes. Yes. It's true. It's something I tell myself. Because I don't know what... I'll be happy. Yes. Because while in fact you are trying to protect and guide, you have the well-being of the people at heart. Yes, you just want them to be fine. Oh yes. Oh yes. So before you leave, my last words to you. Right? There are no ulterior motives. There are no dreams to ride over you and at a point in time I leave you. Because if you see the way I'm directing your life, you see that I'm not willing to ride and leave you at a point. If you are wise, you see that this is not how it works. Yeah. Yeah. They interviewed a certain very funny, a certain prophet, and then, you know, prophets, they don't really have time like that. And they interviewed him and said, no, as for he just opens the church. Yeah. Where the people come from, they should just come. That's all. He just opens the church. So once the church is open, means that, sorry, na shas here. Say pon na pon, kufie ya pon. Then they open the, and people come because he's gifted. Yeah, collection. Why the bit your mom is saying na, I just na ya call, ubian kufie. everybody should go home. For those of you who don't understand chi, means that when we open the church, it means that the church has opened. When we close, it means that the church has closed. Everybody should go home. That's his call to bless his darling heart. When we open the shop, it's like a shop. When you open it, now everybody just troops in. You finish the close the thing. Your well-being is what we are looking for in the ministry. Are you listening? Yes. So these are my last words to you. Right? Yes. There's no ill intent. I just want us serving God the way He wants us to do it. Creating those avenues where we can serve God and serve Him well with our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone here. And thank you for their lives. I pray in Jesus' name that these ones are going to be committed. They're going to be given. They are helped by your grace to fulfill all that you will have them fulfill. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.